then, and you know this story very well, in Bloomington. My senior year was like May, right before I graduated, a couple days before I graduated, and it was me and Ashley, she was down there, and my roommate Dominic, and we were walking around this creek bed. It was all day, we were out hiking and walking and catching frogs, and I, you know, caught a couple snakes and crawdads and all sorts of stuff. I know Larry's shaking his head, that's ridiculous, why'd you do that? Well, we did, you know, I felt like Steve Irwin that day, just walking around grabbing up everything, like, oh, I'm grabbing this, grabbing this, grabbing this, and we were out there all day. And it was getting probably close to like noon, 2 o'clock, somewhere like that. And we see this group of kids walk by, and I assume that they were on a field trip or something. There was probably like 15, 20 kids. And there were chaperones with them, maybe 4 or 5, something like that. And they were getting close to the creek bed, and they were looking over, and the parents were saying, oh, get away from there, you know, this and that. And they said something to the effect of, well, there's animals, there's frogs down there. And being the person I am, said, well, they want to see a frog. I can catch me a frog. I'm catching them all day. So I get down. I'm looking, walking around the creek bed. I said, okay, where's a frog at? Boom, I catch it. He's staring at me. I'm staring at him. I said, buddy, buddy, you're about to get shown to these kids. So don't make this too hard on me. I get down, and I reach, and I grab, boom. And I run up the creek bed, and I said, hey, kids, kids, hey, come here real quick. I said, you guys want to see a frog? They're like, yeah, we want to see it. So we'll gather around. And the parents, you know how... the parents are so happy, like, oh, that's so nice of you to catch this for these kids. I know they wanted to see it, and they're all gathered around. So I said, all right, here we go. You ready? And they said, yeah. And I do this. And they look at my hands, and I look at my hands, and I look at them. And you know when a kid's upset. Like, when you let a kid down, you know the face they give. What is that? You know how it is when they don't get something they want for Christmas, or, you know, you let them down. The parents looked at me like I was crazy, because what I had in my hand was not a frog at all. It was a rock. And if you're thinking, what I was thinking was, yeah, I don't know how a frog turned into a rock, but that was what had to have happened, because I know I caught a frog. And so the parents were looking at me, and all I could say was, it must have got out. That's the only thing I could think to say. And they're like, by this point, they're shooing the kids away. They're like, come on, we got anything else to do. This college kid is crazy. We got anything else to do. Let's keep on with our nature walk. But the point was, if I would have just stopped, I was so sure that I had that frog in my hand. If I would have just stopped and looked, I would have saved myself embarrassment. I would have not wasted their time. But I'm glad I did, because I have a story now. But, We let our certainty get in the way of a lot of things, among other things. But if you have your Bibles, please join me in Luke chapter 22, and I'll be reading out of verses 45 through 50. You guys are turning there. I'll kind of fill you in on verses 1 through 44. So this is as I was reading, this is a very sad chapter. Chapter of betrayal, chapter of... when I was reading, I was like, man, this is tough. This is sad, because this actually happened, and Jesus was betrayed by Judas. Peter denied him 3 times, and he tells him, hey, this is going to happen. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be denied. He goes into the garden, and he's praying. And he's asking God to take away the cup that is coming for him. If it be your will, God, please let this pass. I'm going to pick it up here in verse 45. So after he got done praying, verse 45, and when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, why sleep you? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut his right ear off. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye this far, and touched his ear, and he healed him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this afternoon, this evening, God, and we thank you for the opportunity to come into your house, God, to praise you, to worship you, God, to hear a little bit more about who you are. And Lord, thank you for each and every one who decided to show up tonight, Lord, knowing that they might not be okay, but they sure picked a good place to come to get whole, Lord, to learn about you, to hear about what you'd have for this group tonight, God. I pray that evil can stay out of this place tonight, God, that your spirit reign in this place, Lord, and that a hedge of protection comes in and around this place tonight, Lord. I love you, we love you, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So there's a lot going on in this chapter, right? Chapter 22, there's a lot that's happening. In verse 45, so back it up a little bit. In verse 40, Jesus goes to, he takes Peter, John, and James, and they go off to pray. And he tells them, in verse 40, pray so that you do not enter into temptation. In verse 45, they fall asleep, and he comes and he confronts them about, hey, why are you sleeping? And it said that they were sleeping because they were sorry, they were basically depressed. They knew what was going to happen. They knew what was coming, and they were praying, and they let their emotions get the better of them. Jesus asked them to do something, and they let their emotions take over. Jesus, when he asks us to do things, a lot of times we let our emotions get in the way of what he expects us to do. We let our emotions run. We run with those. We don't really think about the repercussions of what we're doing. And when God asks us to do something, we a lot of times that's our go-to. Well, I would, God, but I'm not feeling good. I would, God, but I'm sad. I would, God, but I lost my job. I would, God, but there's always a but that comes with certain things when God is asking you to do something. And we see this here that all that was asked of them at this point in time was to pray. But it wasn't an empty prayer, just go and pray. It was pray so that they didn't fall into temptation. And this happens to all of us. From time to time, God asks us to do certain things, specific things, at a specific point in our lives. And we give excuses as to why we don't want to. Our emotion fuels our decisions. Our emotion fuels why we do things the way we do. Our emotion becomes our rationale, and we go based on feeling. And that's not what God wants for us. He wants us to listen to him, to trust in him, and to follow what he's called us to do. And in verse 46 it says, and he asked them, why are you sleeping? Rise up and pray, lest you fall into temptation. So when God asks us to do something, there's a reason why. I've never been asked of God for something that was just busy work. He's not into that. He's not into, oh, just do this because this, that, or the other. No, there's a specific reason, and here this reason for the disciples was so that they didn't fall into temptation, because Jesus knew what was to come very shortly. He knew what was coming. He knew how they were going to react, and he knew the outcome of the situation that they were getting into, but he never asks us out of spite to do things. Jesus always knows what he's going to do. He always knows what we're going to do. He knows the beginning and the end. There's no cutting corners with Jesus. There's no cutting corners with God. So when he asks us to do something, we have got to make sure that we're doing it. And I know you say, well, we're flesh and we're not perfect and this, that. Yeah, and I agree with you, we're not. And he knew that they couldn't do that on their own. We know that we can't do it on our own, so we got to rely on Jesus Christ, his power, the way he wants to do things, and so that we might be able to do these things that he's calling us to do. There's no way, you heard the story about me sharing a friend. It's like, why would God use him to preach? He can't even catch a frog. Well, it doesn't matter. He did. And all it takes is me saying, okay, God, yeah, I can't do this. Yeah, I'm not equipped to do this. Yeah, I can't serve the community. I can't be loving like you. I can't do this. But I know when you ask me to do something, if I rely on you and if you provide it to me, there's no reason I can't other than my unwillingness, my emotion. And God knows everything that's going to happen, like I said. And in verse 47 and 48 of this chapter, it shows right there. So he had already predicted that at the Last Supper, that somebody's going to betray him. He already knew that this was going to happen. And Judas says, who is it? And so we see here in verse 47, and while he was talking, so while Jesus was talking to the disciples, a multitude of people came up, and he was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. And Jesus said unto him, Judas, betray thou Son of Man with a kiss. So he told him that he was going to be betrayed. He knew that this was going to happen. Just as he told Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And we're not going to get into that. And Peter says, no, Lord, I won't do that. I'll follow you to prison and to death. And Jesus said, well, yeah, you will. I told you this is going to happen. I know what's going to happen. So when we tell God, God, he calls us to do something. Well, God, I'm not going to do that. Or, you know, like my story and Phil's story with running from preaching. I'm not doing that. Well, yeah, you are, because that's what I called you to do. At some point, you don't have a choice but to listen to God. Otherwise, there's no joy. There's not an ounce of joy. You wake up every morning and you think, well, what would have happened if I did listen? What would have happened if I did follow God? What would have happened if I did take that step out on the ledge outside of my comfort zone? What would have happened? Well, luckily for a lot of us, we don't have to know that what if. Jeremy's still here. He doesn't have to know that what if. Everybody has a story. And they don't have to worry about the what if. And if you have a heartbeat and if you're alive, you don't have to know, well, what if? What happens if I die? You need to know without a shadow of doubt what happens if you die. But back to the text. So his prediction came true. Jesus knew what was going to happen before it happened. So it should be no surprise to us when Jesus calls us to do something and we say, no, it ain't happening. Well, yeah, it is. It's going to happen one way or another. And when he does call, he calls us all to be certain things. He calls us all, and one of those things is an ambassador for him. Jesus Christ expects us to represent him with our lives, with our actions, with our word choice, with everything we do. Because that is what we are as Christians. We're ambassadors of Christ. And sometimes I hear people say, well, I don't care what so-and-so thinks about me. I don't care what so-and-so says. Well, let me tell you something. If you have that attitude, you need to care, because people are watching you. And if you claim to have Jesus Christ in your life, and that's your attitude towards people, you might want to look in the mirror and kind of evaluate yourself a little bit, because we as Christians have got to care about people. We have got to say, I need to change my life so that I can project Christ onto these people. I need to change my life so that they can see Christ in me, not betray him and not do what they want to do because they're not happy with the outcome that God wants for their life. And I hear that too often from Christians. Oh, I don't care what they think of me. I don't care. Well, like I said, you need to care. You have got to care, because people are relying on us to get the word out to them. On to verse 49, we see what's happening. All these things are starting to transpire. So the disciples are seeing what's going on. They're saying, okay, well, these people are coming up. We know what's going to happen next. And verse 49 says, When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said to the Lord, shall we smite them with a sword? So here comes that emotion again. Here comes that emotion. It's starting to creep up, that heat of the moment. Again, they're saying, okay, I see that there's a fight about to be coming, potentially. God, what should we do? How should we handle this? We should look to God, but I think a lot of us are like the next verse up here. So we ask God, God, what do you want for my life? God, what do you want me to do? God, how do you want me to handle this situation? And before he answers, we say, oh, I figured it out. Man, I'll take care of it myself. I know you're going to bless it. I know you're going to take me out of whatever I'm in. And we jump at whatever opportunity we can to make sure it's the way we want it to go. We try and find a loophole. There isn't one. We try and find a loophole to make us feel good about what we're doing, when if we would just sit down and wait for 5 minutes, just listen, God would provide the answer. But we don't want to do that. We're too impatient. I can't remember the last time where I was like, oh, hey, Ashley, what do you want to... That's not even a good example, so I'm not even going to go there. But it's, you know, we get so impatient with certain things. We need it, we want it, that we do not take the time. We don't take the time to pray. We don't take the time to read God's word. We don't take the time to seek his face for what he wants for us. We just want to act because it's what we want to do. And so the temperament's flaring. Everything's starting to get a little worked up. Everybody's starting to get a little on edge. In verse 50 it says, and one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut his right ear off. So Peter reacts. He says, well, you didn't answer yet, God. I see what's coming. I'm going to take care of it myself. Swings a sword, cuts a guy's ear off. And he blows this opportunity. He didn't wait. He acts as if, and we act as if God is not right here when we make decisions, when we ask questions. Just because he says, or just because he doesn't give us an answer right away, doesn't mean he's not asking. She said she'd been praying for her granddaughter for, well, 6 years. And something finally started coming. I'm praying for my friend for this year and last year, and things are finally starting to come. If it was up to me, I'd have it now. But that ain't how God works. That ain't how God works. Well, what does that teach us? To get whatever we want whenever we want? That, no, no, no. He's promised us all that good stuff in heaven. He promised us eternity with him. He didn't promise that this world's going to be great. He didn't promise that the day-to-day, the week-to-week, month-to-month, year-to-year is going to be fantastic. But he promises that we'll get there one day. We just need a little bit of patience. And here, Peter did not show that. Here, Peter said, I'm going to take actions in my own hands because you're taking too long to decide. Cuts his ear off. And as I was reading this, the Spirit really spoke to me. And so how often do our words, when we speak to people, when we choose to speak to them, how often do we cut their ears off, turn them away? How often do we hurt them? I think if we're honest with ourselves, it happens more often than not. We don't give them the time of day. We say, no, not now. Nope, not doing it. You get worked up. Your emotion gets in the way. Temperaments go, and sometimes our mouth and our actions get the better of us. And I don't know if when the last time you guys had an argument or something with somebody, but when you hurt somebody, have you ever tried walking up to them right after it happens and trying to apologize or trying to talk? They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They say, no, I'm not giving you the time of day. I'm not doing that. So when we're sharing the gospel with people, or trying to, we need to make sure we're doing it in a loving way and not calling them out for everything that they're doing. We don't need to be the sin police. We need to share this love of God with these people. We don't need to call them out. They know what they're doing wrong. We need to share, you might be doing this wrong, but here's a way out. Here's what God wants for your life. Have you asked him about him? Do you know about him? Is it saying, hey man, you're a sinner, you're going to hell, you better fix it, or I don't know what else to tell you, man. Because I've wanted to do that. I've wanted to do that so often, but you've got to let the Spirit lead you in those situations. Yeah, yeah. Got to let the Spirit lead you. You got to take a step back, ask God, what do you want? And then wait for his reaction. Wait for him to tell you. Because when you hurt people, it's not just a seal it and, you know, you can't just fix it. We can't fix brokenness. We can pray about it. We can do all these things. But we can't fix brokenness as people. We cannot do it. Did we fix our own? No. Did the doctor fix our own? I mean, physically, yeah. Spiritually, who fixes our brokenness? Jesus Christ. We know that. And if you don't know it, I'm telling you the truth right now. Jesus Christ can fix any problem that you guys have. And we see him do that in verse 51. And it says, and Jesus answered him and said, suffer you thus far. And he touched his ear and he healed him. Jesus heals. Jesus fixes every mistake that we have. Regardless of here's what it is, it's sin. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter if it's shortness, you know, short patience. Doesn't matter if it's our emotions getting in the way. Doesn't matter if it's our pride. Jesus can fix all of our mistakes. He does it right here, physically does it right here. He fixes us. He fixes the things that we break on a daily basis. And he's like, man, you're doing it again. He gets the broom and dustpan and he cleans it up and he fixes it for us. And we take that for granted. Every time we break something, it's like, man, that vase is a little bigger. Let's see if I can get away with knocking this one off. Boom, knock it off. What'd I do that for? What'd I do that? Then you ask God for forgiveness and he says, okay, we'll take care of it. But we always try and stretch that limit. We always try and see what we can get away with. But thank God he is who he is. Thank God that he sees past all of our mistakes and all of our mess, and he's willing to fix it. That guy didn't even ask for it. And Jesus saw it. He said, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. And put his ear back on, and he healed him. I'll tell you, though, with fixing our mistakes and being the God that he is, he still asks of us. He still requires us to do his will. He still requires us to share his gospel. And my plea to you guys tonight is a couple things. One, be sensitive to the Spirit, because without it, we see what happens without it. We cause a ruckus. We break things. We make a mess out of things. And don't blow your witness. Don't let what you think and your opinion trump what God wants for you. I was listening to a sermon last night on the way home from wherever I was at, and the guy was saying that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. But he said everybody wants the truth in their opinion to be even keel. Everybody wants what they think is right versus what God says is right. They want it to be even, and it can't be like that. You can't trade the truth that is in God's word for what you think or how you think he should be. You got to take it for what it is. Because you start getting in there and try and change it, it's going to mess you up even more. Opinion and truth are not on the same playing field. The truth is above opinion always. So before you give yours, ask God, is this, what do you think? How do you think I should handle this? Instead of saying, well, I didn't get any practice swings, batter up. I'm gonna take care of this one by myself. It doesn't work. Never will. Never has. And Satan might fool you for a while. Say, hey, you want to do what you want? Do what you want. It ain't that big of a deal. It's something small. Do what you want. He don't care. Live your life. You can do anything you want. Doesn't work. So I shared that story of the frog because it had a question for you guys. Is when you show up and you pass away and you see God face to face, how are you going to react to him? What are you going to bring to him? Are you going to say, oh God, I thought this was how I got into heaven. You mean to tell me? I was so sure that all I had to do was be a good person. I was so sure that all I had to do was my good to outweigh my bad, and that got me in. I was so sure, and then you blow it. That's a opportunity that you don't want to blow, is eternity. So for the believers, what are you guys going to be bringing? Are you going to have something worth throwing at God's feet? Or is it going to be a rock? And to all the people who don't know Christ, the excuse of, I thought this was good enough. I thought this is all I needed. I thought if I would have just checked, I thought this was good. It's not going to work. So tonight I beg you to make that decision now while you can. Because God wants to fix those mistakes. God wants to give you the fullness of what he's promised you in this word. But he can't do that if you're not willing to take it. So as we stand, I pray that when you go through your day to day and you get worked up and your emotions start creeping up and you want to say something, whether it be at work, whether it be at church, wherever you're at, I pray that you seek God and you wait for God. to answer before you react. Because, like I said multiple times throughout this, when we react, it ain't bad. All it does is cause a mess, and it hurts people. God doesn't need that. God doesn't want that from us. He calls us, as Phil said, two things. Have no other God beside me. Love God. And what else? Love His people. Two things. We screw them up, though.